I've been asked this evening to really talk about the farmer's perspective, where we've come from with TB, why we are where we are, and perhaps where we need to go as well. So, I mean, bovine TB, TB has been with man for as long as anybody knows. But it's only really in the last 100 years that we've been addressing it in Europe. And if you go back to the 1930s, there was about 2,500 people a year dying from TB, bovine TB, and approximately about 40% of the cattle were infected with TB. After much research and debate, there's one thing about TB, there's always been debate and disagreement, people changing their minds. But originally, was it in the meat, was it in the milk? And eventually decided it was in the milk, mainly the risk, and pasteurisation 1935 onwards made a big inroads into reducing the effect in people. The skin test was also developed in the 1930s by the UK government, and then the attested scheme started in 1935. This was a voluntary scheme, but there was quite a big financial reward for being part of it. But TB really became under control in the 1950s and 1960s, when the attested scheme came compulsory. And by the 1960s, we'd really got it down to virtually nothing, apart from in the southwest, where there was a couple of pockets that remained. And it became really difficult to get on top of those. And in 1970, 71, bovine TB was found in badgers, and at the same time, also in possums in New Zealand. And then in 1973, we had the Badger Act, and the badger numbers started to increase gradually. There was more concern, and there was gassing, and the gassing of that type was using cyanide, and cyanide is a nasty gas, not at all pleasant. But various events took place, such as Thornbury, where extensive gassing took place, and following that gassing, there was no bovine TB for 10 years. Of course, that wasn't a properly controlled trial. I suppose you could say the rest of the country was the control, because nothing was happening there to a certain degree. And gassing sort of really stopped in 1981. But caging and various other sort of reactionary culls took place. But to keep it in perspective, in the middle of the 1980s, we had less than 500 cattle a year reacting to the skin test. And then through the 90s, the numbers started to climb. And by the late 90s, we were getting about 4,000 to 5,000 cases a year, animals a year. 2001 showed what happened when you stop testing, when the numbers went up dramatically. And the testing stopped because of foot and mouth. And that produced a lot of transitional TB, especially in the northern part of the country. But that, in the northern part of the country, was dealt with through skin testing. But nevertheless, it took till about 2005 before we came back down to where the curve was going prior to foot and mouth. And by 2012, in England, we're in a sort of 26,000 to 27,000 cattle a year reacting to TB and being slaughtered. So costing the country a huge amount of money, and farmers, and society. And as Rosie no doubt will go through the RBCT work, I think farmers have always found that intriguing, to be honest. And the reason I think farmers find it intriguing, it's a bit like me going to the doctor on the first day and saying, "Doctor, I don't feel very well." And he says, "Well, you need to take this medicine for 5 days. Come back and see me in 5 days. You go back in 5 days and you say, "I feel a bit better." He said, "Well, stop taking the medicine and come back and see me in 4 days later." In 9 days worth of treatment. You go back at 9 days. He said, "I feel absolutely fantastic." He said, "I'm sorry, I've just worked out on average over the 9 days, you've only 16% better." So farmers have found it really difficult to understand why the RBCT came out and said that it wasn't worthwhile. And I think it came out that it wasn't worthwhile for all sorts of reasons. One was also was public perception of culling. Would that make it practical and easy to do? And we know that it doesn't make it easy to do. The other aspect, I think things have changed quite dramatically since that report, is cattle prices have doubled, so therefore more worthwhile doing than perhaps it wasn't then. And the other aspect is, within the cull areas, there was a significant improvements in TB, and it was around the edges of the areas where we saw a negative improvement in TB cases. So from a farmer's point of view, we think there is worthwhile doing. And not all the trial areas in the triplet areas had a good cull in the first couple of years either, and yet saw improvements. And one of the lessons from that, put together in 2011, was we needed to have larger areas to do, just to make sure there's perturbation around and outside. Of course, you get perturbation within the area as well, but also perturbation outside the area was kept to a minimum because of the size of the area. I think the other aspect that's also been one of the real problems with TB is politicians. Not just now, but in the past as well. From 1979 onwards, we had ministers, apart from three or four, who were not interested in agriculture. They saw it as a nuisance. In fact, they thought it really should be a big caravan car park. And the money should be spent on environmental and didn't see food as a public good. And so therefore, the desire to do anything about TB didn't matter because they didn't see food production as being important. And even when the Conservatives came in 2010, I think that perhaps I can say this more now, I'm not the Vice President of the NFU, I think they were designed, the trials were set up and designed so they would fail. The bureaucracy around them, the difficulty and the cost. When I looked at it when I wasn't an office holder, I thought no farmer would sign up to this. And I tell you what, I went down a lot of drives, and my prediction was actually right, that people didn't want to pay up front 4 years plus a 25% contingency fund. It was when you got a fee bill to pay that month, do you want to pay £2,000, £1,500 to have a cull take place in your farm? And he said, I've got 12 badgers on the farm, why can't I go and do it myself? So you can understand that debate that happened. I think the other aspect is that a lot of people felt that we wanted to cull all the badgers in the country. And that is complete rubbish. I think the other aspect that's also made it polarised is that people thought the NFU did not believe in cattle vaccination. I'll come on to that in a moment. So there is no one answer to TB in cattle. There's going to be different answers in Devon to what there is in Cumbria, if they ever get TB, and do get TB, to Warwickshire. There's going to be different answers. So first, we need to have a long-term plan on how to do it. And a lot of people say to me, well, as we saw in 2001, TB is a problem if you stop doing something about it. We will become a human issue or a risk potentially if we don't control TB in cattle. The exports for the beef industry and the dairy industry are crucial. And people say, oh, but Adam, why do we need to have an export in our beef industry when we only produce 65%, 70% of our own beef? Let me explain. The cattle industry is like the car industry in reverse. The car industry takes components from all over the world and builds a car and flogs it. We take the completed item and we break it up into its components and we send them all around the world. Nobody here tonight likes to eat cattle feet. Our friends in Nigeria love them. Thank God they do. The Korean car industry loves the hides for their car seats, and so on. The Japanese love to have natural offal for their carcasses and sausages, so the intestines go out there. This all adds a substantial value to our cattle industry. We saw when we didn't have exports because of BSE, what the four main retailers did to our beef industry. We've gone from 16 million cattle in the UK down to 10 million cattle, while other countries in Europe have stayed reasonably stable in their populations. So while there's a world demand for beef, an increasing demand, we've seen our UK production fall. Okay, so where do we need to go? We need not only a 25-year plan, but we need a long-term budget as well. And it needs to be a plan that farmers think, this is something I want to partake in. I can see it's going to be a real lot of hurt initially, but it's going to deliver. I'm ashamed that Professor Boyd isn't here tonight, because a lot of farmers out there do not trust DEFRA one jot. They find the rules conflicting. They find them complicated. Anybody who's read a form saying you're TB-free, you read it and think, actually, have I got TB on the farm or not? It's incredibly bureaucratic. The advice from vets is inconsistent. While there are vets on the ground who are busting a gut to try and make the system work for farmers who are affected by TB, some are not and are overrushed. When you hear and talk to your case officer on TB, that SAM, that's the computer operating system, that provides all the data, that he's having to take screenshots on his computer screen before it crashes, it doesn't give you much faith. And we saw that recently in the data that came out of SAM, and in actual fact had been wrong for a number of years on the number of farms that had TB. These have to be addressed to give people confidence in any plan that we are going to take forward. If you are saying to farmers, we are going to shut you down, we're going to give you more movement controls, it has to be a plan they say this will deliver. Otherwise, if you get schemes, you're going to get schemers if you're not careful. And people will try and work around them if they don't have faith in that scheme. So, call it a carrot if you will. A lot of people have. I've been sent carrots in the post quite a lot in this last 2 years. Is the fact we do need, in areas that have a high incidence of TB in the badgers, we do need to control that population. Will vaccine control TB when you have 55% of the badgers have TB? I don't believe it will. And looking at the work of the Derby and York and the Scottish Agriculture College and their computer modelling. Now, I know computer modelling is always wrong, because that's the standard default for computer modelling, and all that modern computers do, because they're bigger and faster, is give you that wrong answer faster. But nevertheless, it says that vaccinating badgers, where there's a high incidence of TB, could take decades to give significant improvement. Where I think that badger vaccination would have a real effect is in the edge areas, and also in outbreaks in low-risk areas to vaccinate around those farms. I think farmers would really buy into that. And I think we need to train farmers to come involved in the caging. And I think we also, I look at the caging and go, well, this is archaic. Surely there's a better way to catch a badger in runs and so on, where they have their normal routes. We do need to trial the cattle vaccine. We need to know one way or the other whether cattle vaccination will work. We need to understand how it can be used. It's like BCG and you guys and me. Nobody here would be able to use it now, because over 35 years of age, you don't use BCG in people because it's ineffective. So we need to understand how it's going to work in cattle. Is it purely for young cattle? Is it the whole country? There are 10 million cattle in the country, £20 a pop, 200 million quid. TB is costing us £100 million a year. How do we use it? How will this affect our exports? We need to work with the people we export to, because exports are so important, that they really understand what we're doing and why we're doing it before we start using it nationally. The trials will take a long time, because we've got to work out how often we use it, how we use it, when we use it, how good the DIVA test is, how we use that, how we administer it, and so on. How often do we have to do it? Is there any immunity passed on? All those other issues we need to work out. And then we have the joy of going to Europe to get the legislation changed. Or if UKIP had their way, perhaps that would be quicker. I don't know. But nevertheless, it is really important that we take the European farmers with us, because they will lobby their MEPs with any excuse to put a ban on British beef again. And I can tell you now, without our export markets, there is no beef industry in this country. Not long term. So we need to also look at movement controls. When the work that's looking at the stats says in the high-risk areas that badgers are responsible between 30 and 50% of TB. And that's a bit of a funny figure, really. It's a bit like you're driving along in the car, your brakes fail, you go into a river and you drown. Did you die from the brakes failing, or did you die from drowning? And that's how their stats say. This is about a badger, which would be about 9% of the new cases maybe started by badgers, has introduced TB into that farm. So this is a farm I visited last year down in Cornwall, Devon border. Quite an interesting farm, actually, before we even mentioned TB. Exactly the type of person you want to see in our industry, mid-30s, university trained, investing a huge amount of money in that farm to improve its facilities, to improve the welfare, to increase its productivity, to meet those markets we should be doing to reduce the balance of payments. In fact, he'd borrowed £3.75 million to do that. He'd had a closed herd since 1996. No immediate neighbours, because he'd got roads between them and arable fields. The first test in the autumn, he lost 90 cows, and the test in February, he lost 60 cows. That man was weeping, not because of the loss of the financial loss, but his whole hopes and desires and plans, and why would he lose the farm through it? That'd been the family of several generations. It's those people that got me out of bed in the morning to try and deal with TB. But the other 50%, 70% of cases is not about badgers. It's about cattle movements. It's about poor quality testing. And we need to understand that better. We need to develop new and better tests. The skin test is a brilliant herd test. Two tests, excellent. Three tests, even better. Pre-movement test, is it a good test for pre-movement test, testing 15 cattle? No, it's useless. But with a post-movement test as well, especially for breeding stock going to low-risk areas, that's a bit of a belts and braces, and it's something we should explore. The people in the north of England have a totally different view on TB to the southwest. Some of the guys in the southwest believe that the guys in the north don't realise they have TB. So if I have risk-based trading, we'll suddenly announce that they do have TB. Well, wake up, guys in the southwest. The guys in the north know that you have TB, and they've stopped already buying your cattle because they're worried. The guys in the north are desperate for a risk-based trading system so they know where the last two movements of our animal has been. So if you're in the market up in Yorkshire and you're buying some replacement heifers and you think, oh, great, these cattle come from Lancashire, and you get them home and you look in the passport and find that 3 weeks earlier they actually came from Devon, from a farmer that's gone clear of TB, you wouldn't be particularly happy. So the farmer there needs to have the information. And please don't believe that stat that says 40% of farms in the southwest have never had TB. It's not worth the paper it's written on, because if you exclude all farms below 20 cattle, I think you get up to 95% of farms have had TB in the southwest in the last 10 years. But there are pockets who have never had TB. So we need information for farmers. We need a long-term plan, we need a proper budget, we need to develop better tests. And the industry also needs to step up to the plate with a genuine partnership with DEFRA to try and have an independent body that runs TB control in this country. And that will not happen in 5 minutes. In New Zealand, it took them 10 years to build up that confidence in each other to make it work. We must also understand, as an industry, and politicians must understand, there is no silver, golden, platinum, whatever colour you like to choose, a bullet to deal with TB. It's going to be multiple measures that are different in different parts of the country that will deal with it. Thank you very much.